This is an audio of Megan Baudette's column, How Feminist Movements Kick Back Against Oppression in the Middle East. Megan Baudette is the Director of Research at the Kurdish Peace Institute. There may be no single sentence that Turkey's right-wing autocracy under President Recep Tayyip Erdogan fears more than a society can never be free without women's liberation. Those nine words sparked an international incident last year when the Turkish Foreign Ministry attempted to threaten the government of Norway into censoring a painting that included them. If there is one, we could say it might be Jin Jiyan Azadi, which many know by now is a popular slogan meaning women, life, freedom in Kurdish. A lawyer who said this in solidarity with women-led protests in Iran faced violent threats from colleagues, was briefly detained and is still under criminal investigation. These words and the powerful ideas about women's freedom that they represent seem difficult to object to, but the government of Turkey sees them as a national security threat and has made it clear that it will meet the women who stand up for them with armed force. In July, Women's Defence Unit's YPJ commander Cihan Tilhaldan, renowned for her leadership in key battles against ISIS and the effort to organise women in northeast Syria, was assassinated as she left a women's conference in Kamishlo. In October, Nagihan Akarsel, a member of the Genealogy Academy, was murdered in Sulaymaniyah. Turkey's ambassador to Iraq all but confessed to the killing in response to a journalist's question days later. Not long after that, Turkish Interior Minister Süleyman Soylu said that the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, was a women's organisation with philosophies and sociologies on that basis, in a speech in which he discussed Turkey's so-called war on terror. From an analyst's perspective, it is not difficult to understand the threat that Erdogan's regime perceives here. Kurdish women have proven that they can successfully resist under the harshest conditions and unite women across ethnic and religious lines in the struggle for women's freedom. In doing so, they have become a potent threat to autocrats and fundamentalists in the region. In Syria and Iraq, the women of the YPG and YJA star fought ISIS when better armed states could not or would not do so. In the territories that they liberated, they spread their ideas about women's liberation and trained women to defend themselves, seeking to target the patriarchal ideas that enabled ISIS's rise and ensure that the crimes the jihadist group committed would not be repeated. Their model caught on quickly. When I visited North and East Syria, some of the most enthusiastic supporters of the women's revolution I met were Arab women who had lived under ISIS occupation. In a meeting with the Zenobia Women's Coordination in Raqqa, activists insisted to me that their struggle was relevant not only for one community or one country, but for oppressed women everywhere. In Iran, Kurdish women's struggle is at the centre of a nationwide multi-ethnic uprising that has shaken the Islamic Republic to its core. Men and women of all backgrounds are chanting Jin Jiyan Azadi and demanding an end to the dictatorship. The Iranian regime has resorted to massacres, arbitrary detentions, torture and death sentences to crush this women-led revolution, but the people in the streets show no sign of backing down. A young Kurdish woman that I interviewed last month told me, "Kurdish and Iranian people are now angrier than ever. We are also very hopeful for the fall of the regime and a better future. I want the world to stand behind us and support our movement because it's for the freedom of women." Erdogan likely fears that he will be next. The 2023 elections will be existential for his government, and polls show that Kurdish voters may well determine the outcome. Turkey has already de facto suspended local democracy in Kurdish regions and is attempting to close down the pro-Kurdish People's Democratic Party, the HDP, leaving its more than 5 million supporters out of the political process altogether. The campaign to crush Kurdish political aspirations and drum up nationalist support is not confined within Turkey's borders. Many in north and east Syria fear they will face a third Turkish invasion before the 2023 vote is held. The impact of these repressive strategies on democracy and human rights in the region can't be overstated. However, it is important to point out that they haven't yet achieved their political goals. Attacks on Syrian Kurds have eroded international support for Turkey's perceived security concerns, brought on sanctions and arms embargoes and spurred global sympathy for the Kurdish cause and the revolutionary ideas that North and East Syria is attempting to put into practice. The ideas of the Kurdish women's movement in particular are stronger internationally than ever before. I had a powerful opportunity to see this firsthand last weekend when I moderated a panel at the second International Women's Conference organised by the Women Weaving the Future Network in Berlin. More than 700 women from over 40 countries joined the conference to discuss how women are standing up to the challenges of our time: war, authoritarianism, poverty and exploitation, the destruction of the environment and more. Even alone on the panel that I moderated, leaders in women's struggles from as far away as Guatemala and Afghanistan presented on their experiences. While participants made their own critiques and highlighted their own practical knowledge and insights, they all expressed interest in understanding and engaging with the ideological and practical advancements that Kurdish women have made. Watching over the energetic debates, music, dancing and multilingual feminist protest chants were posters of Cihan Toledan and Nagihan Akarsel. Their faces were a sobering reminder that there are powerful men willing to murder women who dare to stand up for the ideas that we are able to openly debate. Toledan was killed just hours after she gave a speech like many of those that we heard at the conference. She left a conference much like ours. Akarsel was an organiser of the Berlin conference herself. At the same time, the gathering was a glimpse of what a world with more women like them and fewer men like Erdogan would look like. Ultimately, a regime that reacts to women's ideas about freedom with threats and violence does nothing but reveal its own weaknesses. An idea that attracts worldwide solidarity and support despite a very real danger to the lives of people who engage with it, by contrast, reveals its relevance and power. The Kurdish women's struggle has outlasted and defeated autocrats and fundamentalists before, and will do so again. I wouldn't bet against it.